Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. We're assembled in the legal Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a 2 p.m. legal counsel update. This time, I would like to officially put the meeting into a recess due to a lack of quorum. Commissioner Morgan is on her way, and Commissioner Hare is out on assignment, so she will be here probably within 15 minutes. We will reconvene at 2:15. Thank you. Are we ready? Okay, good afternoon. It is now 2:15, and we're after a short recess. We're back in session here. It is Tuesday, August 21st, 2018, at 2:15, the legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. President Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner DeYoung, Commissioner Hare is out on assignment. And we have legal counsel Wally Hicks with us right now, so we'll move on to item number one, admin policy number F-5, public records request.
Yes, okay, continuation of a discussion that was started on 7/24. Looks like Commissioner Morgan wasn't here, and that was probably why the discussion was continued. So just to give a primer of where we left off, the law requires that if a public records request is denied, then it defaults to the district attorney as far as the appellate process for where the requester can go. However, if the request is denied by an elected official, board, assessor, surveyor, myself, then the appellate process directs the requester to the circuit court exclusively for their remedy. You hear what I'm saying there? Okay, so what that has resulted in...
It's either DA, or coming from an elected official, it would go to the circuit court.
That's right. So what's that? A citizen who put in a request pointed out that what that results in is a disparity in what your remedy is if you get denied, depending on who you ask within the county. And so I think the scenario we looked at last time was, let's say someone wants a copy of the plat, and so they go to the surveyor and ask him for a copy of it, and for some reason the surveyor declines the request. Well, as an elected official, because an elected official denied that request, the requester's only option is to go upstairs to circuit court. But let's say the person instead went to the planning department, and planning director goes ahead and denies it. Well, then the recourse is to the district attorney. So what we're seeing within county government, because it's not just my office, I am the public records officer. Mm-hmm. Statutorily, every government is required to have one, and that happens to be me. And I do process a lot of these things, to be sure, as is my office. But what we're finding is that you have records that are kept in different parts of the county, and people are not having the same options for appeal. If I deny it, then circuit court is the option, you know, for appeal. If anyone else who's not elected denies it, then they of course have the option to go to the district attorney. So policy F-5 pertains to public records requests. And I think the drift between, let's just confirm, was Commissioners DeYoung and Hare, I had been, and I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth by any means, was that you were probably, you were, I think, most favorably looking at amending the policy through the formal process, of course, to say that notwithstanding Oregon law, it is the policy of Josephine County that public records that are denied will be subject to appeal at the district attorney's office, and the county would recognize determinations made by the district attorney. And
then we just
craft that any way you want. Yeah.
So it would just level the playing field so that if an elected official says that it doesn't go to the circuit court, it says that anybody in the county,
yes,
denies it, then it's going to go to the DA.
Yes.
That's the next step.
Now, as the governing body, you can, of course, carve yourselves out from that. That might be wise. And say, except if the board denies it. And then
I would almost go the opposite direction and say that any appeal would go to circuit court, not the DA. The connection, I mean, yeah, his office budget is county. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that we don't have anything to do with the courts, where even though he's a state office, his department is funded by the county. So there could be a perceived conflict of interest. And who is the appellant if he denies the request?
They do get to take it to the circuit court at that point.
Yeah. I mean, if it's that everybody is disparate, you know, basically a different outcome, wouldn't the easiest thing be that all of them go to circuit court? Or is there a cost involved and that's why it's hard?
Yeah, there is. Generally, someone's going to have to pay a filing fee at least. And if they want to be represented, of course, there's going to be a cost associated there. there is, not to get too far into the particulars on this, but there is a provision for, you know, attorney's fees if the county doesn't prevail at that level as well, suffice to say. So there could be a cost to the county.
What's the time constraint is if you send it to the DA, would you have this thing back in a week? And if you send it to the court, you might be 6 months out?
He has, he does have a statutorily defined time frame.
Yeah.
And before, I think I know off the top of my head, but before I announce it, I'll just say that.
But the DA, the DA would have a time constraint on his decision, whereas circuit court would be when we can get it on the docket.
Yeah. Yeah, the DA does have a finite time. He has a statutorily required time frame.
And our policy differs from statute in how?
Our policy is compliant with the statute. We're currently compliant.
Then
the whole thing came because a requester pointed out that there was inconsistency within the county's approach and wanted to, take it. It happened to be a request that I denied. And also another portion of the county denied as well, who was not elected. And so it did wind up in the DA's office. I advised the requester that their recourse was to go to circuit court. Dissatisfied with that answer, he went to another county department, and then that county department contacted me, and it wound up playing out that, you know, I advised the department head to deny the request as well. Well, the requester went to the DA. As it turns out, the DA also denied that request. So it didn't come to an immediate head, but the grander policy issue is still on the table.
But now that the DA denied the request, can that person come back and say, yeah, but I had an elected official do it, I want to go to a circuit court?
Now they've had two elected officials deny, because the DA and myself have both denied.
Okay.
So that, yes, the circuit court option is still available.
It's still there?
Yes.
So I think what Commissioner Morgan's saying is, why don't we just send it to there and be done with it? Is that what you're...
Essentially, keep everybody on equal footing that an appeal is to the circuit court, but at the same time, I don't know.
The question was, you're not consistent.
Mm-hmm. That was the concern.
If we're going to make it consistent, send it all to circuit court?
I'd say you got both options available.
Okay.
From the laws standpoint, it's a judgment call. What do you want to do with these requests?
Yeah.
Who defends the county at circuit court?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I mean, that's me, and so
she
asked who defends the county at circuit court, and yeah, true. Now I don't always. It's not always us and me who denies these, as I described.
No, but anybody.
Can be denied by any of these. The clerk,
I
Connie,
mean, to go directly,
you know,
to circuit court with all of them, that's going to put another.
Oh, they're okay. Well, that's their.
Yeah, I know.
Prerogative. The mechanics of doing that, I would suggest, would be to actually also amend the policy to clarify that all denials are deemed to be made on behalf of the Board of Commissioners, the elected governing body, and thus, you know, it's crystal clear for people across the board that their recourse is to go to circuit court.
That's 6½ dozen the other to me. But if the question is you're not consistent, and that's where they're getting us.
The citizen pointed that out, and I didn't have a good answer, except, okay, I'll take it to the board.
But, I mean, if we adopt this policy that everything goes to the DA, does that make it consistent across the board? Isn't it when an elected official says no, they can still petition the court?
The way I read it is the board is the ultimate custodian of all county records. And so even if
the
assessor denies the request ostensibly through their office, we could. I have every expectation we would draft your policy to state that that denial is in fact governed by the Board of County Commissioners.
Do we have to ratify a denial if it's coming from us?
If the
assessor denies it and they say, we're denying it with the blessing of the board, and the board at some point in time would have to ratify?
No. If you have your policy, that's what puts that into effect.
Okay.
Your policy would delegate the authority.
Yes,
okay.
Delegates the authority.
delegate the board's authority to.
So in terms of legalities, you have both options available. Or you can keep status quo, that too is an option.
What are we risking by just leaving it the way it is? And saying, I guess the way it is just that, but I see where we got into that pickle because it's the way it is.
Yeah. As I described, we had a request came in to my office initially. I declined the request.
And you declined it?
Because there was an exemption.
So they just kept asking around until somebody said yes?
Yes. No, nobody said yes. Okay. He was declined at all fronts. But he didn't go to circuit court. He waited till someone who... And we didn't really litigate this point by any means, but...
He was going to get somebody to say no other than an elected official so he could take it to the DA.
That's how it played out. Who in turn also upheld the denial, who found the exemption to be applicable in this case. But, you know, that's what brought the situation.
Do we weigh in with the DA on these decisions? Does he get our feedback at all?
I avoid that. No, no. Certainly we provide him the documents and so that he can evaluate it, and he understands. He has always honored confidentiality in this process. I have every reason to expect that he would continue to. So I'm not concerned about that. But no, I don't lobby the DA. He'll come into, you know, usually he comes into our office and asks for the documents, asks for the background on the case. And so we provide that to him. And then we just say, okay, we're waiting for your decision. Now, that said, if I'm the one who denied the request, I don't know I've never committed that we're gonna say we're gonna honor that decision necessarily. And we have been in that situation before, actually. A newspaper earlier this year, maybe December timeframe, requested names of certain persons who communicated with the county on the topic of marijuana. And that was denied both by myself and the Board of County Commissioners. So the newspaper went to the district attorney, who actually found partially in favor of the requester and found that the exemption didn't apply. The county, because of the way we had denied the request, didn't honor the district attorney's determination. We continued to not turn over the names. So the remaining recourse there was for the newspaper to go to circuit court. They never did.
I'd be curious, because different departments may have different policies and not even realize if they fall under this. What comes to mind is in community corrections, the director is the record keeper for the state computer system. So any requests that would go through that department, I don't know that they would check with here for permissions or anything else like that. So if the policy is followed equally by all departments, or if a department head isn't necessarily an elected official or policymaker, then should that go to somebody other than a department head? Or is that the appropriate place to request?
Okay, a couple of questions wrapped up in there. So the policy does expressly carve out certain departments and really covers the scenarios in which departments process wholly internally their own public records requests. What was the last part of that? Yeah.
Can we say that department heads don't have the latitude to give up public records requests, that it has to go through the board or it has to go through legal?
Now you can. That is thoroughly unfeasible. I'm sorry, I'm sent to the board.
Okay.
That's not even close. I mean, I think we ran the numbers, and our office did like 80-something last year, and it was a couple of us in the office that,
That's what just
doesn't count for any of the other, departments who get to do their own.
So you got your routine requests that come into the county all the time. Surveyor, they do a lot of requests down there for reasons that we don't understand. Assessor, that's what they do. They have a whole window that people can go to get those things. Planning does a lot of requests, and we don't have a real role there.
Sure.
Sheriff's office does a lot of requests. Clerk, that's what they do, right? And so the feasibility of that is not there.
Well, going back to the original complaint, I guess it would be the inconsistency. What is your recommendation to remedy that? Is it what you proposed to us today?
No, the only recommendation I would have is that we can't centralize it all at my office. Which is hardly a surprise, I recognize. But no, that one we can't do. I don't know. It's a judgment call. And so, you know, I did take it on me after this was pointed out to me. As I pledged to the citizen, I would do. I've taken it to the board a couple times now. And that's because it's I can't weigh in beyond that. You got your legal options here. And
yeah.
All three of them are legal. Or anything else you want to do with it. You can keep the status quo. Problematic.
I don't know.
Okay. That's a legitimate position.
I think we need to look at it from the standpoint of how is the fastest way that we're serving the public that is requesting this? If it's 6 months to a year to get on the docket, or we're plugging up the court system with it, how many have they heard in the last, does it ever get to the circuit court?
I haven't handled one there. Have we ever had one? No.
I mean, Pat, you?
I haven't really ever.
Okay, so I mean.
We should be glad that it hasn't, though, because if we lose there, then.
Right.
Then I think it's a mandatory attorney's fee.
Then you can, then we, yeah. So if we keep it in the office of the DA,
yeah.
Commissioner Morgan made a very good point that, well, gee, you control his budget. Is that a conflict? Can somebody declare a conflict? He worked for the board?
No, statute.
We didn't appoint him. He was appointed by the governor, elected by the people as a state office. So he's not our employee, but we fund his staff.
Yes.
Okay, so he is, if it goes to the...
It is. Yeah, it's statutory. It's not... if it's denied by a person other than an elected official, then it does automatically go to the DA per statute.
And going to the DA makes these things happen faster.
Yes, that's a safe statement. Yes.
I think I'd rather go to the DA than to go...
Unless
the board denies it.
That's an important caveat. You might, I would suggest if that's the direction you want to go on this pure policy decision, that leave in an exception that the board as the governing body is, as I described earlier, the custodian of
all other elected officials would go to the DA. Denial from any elected official or any department head goes to the DA.
Yes, and then if anybody elected or otherwise has a real pickle of a case, they bring it into the board. And the board would then, it's up to you if you want to release the record or not. If you say no, and we've been there before, right, with the marijuana names. And so, granted, I did the initial denial without, I think we did it in concert, actually. I remember we brought it in, we talked about it with the board, and the board was affirmative on that point. And so, that kind of thing would be an available
option. That leaves a final decision up to the board any way you look at it.
I like putting that caveat in there to the department heads. But,
so
yeah.
Does that make...
So everything go to the DA except for the board, and an understanding sent to the department heads that if it's a doozy, bring it to the board.
Yep. Why don't we leave off there? We don't necessarily need to draft the policy coming out of today's meeting. And maybe we'll pick up the discussion at that down the line when Commissioner Herrick needs to join in.
I think that makes sense to me, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. So they're all three of us are here, and if he's got any way in, we'd have it just very similar to that. We had Flyman and I at the first one, and we needed get Lily's input, Commissioner Morgan's input. And I think, if we can get all three of us in the same room, and then I think that that's the way this commissioner would like, I think that clears it up, and it does make it consistent, because everything goes until it gets to the board. When the board says no, then you can appeal to the circuit court.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I'm hearing coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll
put it on for another meeting. Does that make, or do you want to do it today, or?
Doesn't matter to me.
We'll put it on for one more meeting, and then make sure that everyone's.
Yeah. We'll find out from Wendy when everybody's got to be here, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Item number two is additional subject to matters from commissioners. I would like to, at this time, we talked about this morning's meeting. In fact, we've got Lise here. We were talking about the $100,000 from the Forest Trust and $100,000 for veterans from the Forest Trust. And we didn't approve anything. So I think I want to bring it back now. Is that the time we can approve it?
I don't recommend we do that at a legal meeting.
Okay, then you want to do it.
We can go to Thursday admin.
Yeah, I think there's time to add it. Well, that's the better course.
Or admin?
Yeah, approving $100,000.
Okay, then we'll just go to admin on Thursday? Does that make sense?
It does to me, but it's not my meeting.
Okay, yeah, let's go admin on Thursday. Okay, so done. Okay, then moving along, today is Tuesday, August 21st, 2018 at 2:34 p.m. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item 3A is confidential memo regarding recovery of wildfire damages, or S192.6602FH. 3B is lease of county real property located on 1222 Redwood Avenue, or S192.6602E. C is lease with U.S. Cellular for county real property fairgrounds, or S192.6602E. D is county real properties for auction, ORS 192.6602E, and E is an update on collective bargaining, ORS 192.6602D. Approved representatives of news media and designated staff should be allowed to attend the executive session. All of the members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made. Executive session, at the end of executive session, we'll return to open session, welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:36. Okay, we are back in session at 3:19. And we'll go through Wally, I think, has a...
Well, the summary is, I mean, we were advised of options, and we're going to continue to pursue some of those regarding the confidential memo. We discussed options. No decision was made. Continue negotiations on B, moving forward with the discussion that was made there with the lease on Redwood Avenue. We're going to continue negotiations on C, the real property at the fairgrounds. And moving forward with items for the auction on D, collective bargaining is moving forward to the WBS tomorrow.
Okay. Item number four is additional subject matter from commissioners.
I was approached by a citizen regarding a story that was in the paper regarding Schroeder Park. So I was hoping, I had no information on it. I hadn't read the paper yet. So I would just like to have that discussion when it's appropriate.
Yeah, we'll put that on next week's agenda.
Thank you. I just didn't know about it, so that was my response. So
that's fine. I was out last week.
Yeah, which you deserve the right to be.
No excuse.
And Pat, you deserve the right to be, though I don't think you deserve the right to have your plane canceled the way it was.
No.
But other than that,
it's probably just as well. We are our CIS. She didn't. I know our CIS council is actually going to be touring the site between now and next week.
Okay.
So we'll have even more information at that
point. Cool.
The CIS is on it.
They're
taking care of it. That's a wise thing to do.
So just as informational, I'll be touring the fire camps and stuff with Representative Walden on Friday.
On Friday?
Yeah.
So. Sure coming down here, but there's a lot of walking around. And I don't know. I hope it comes to something someday. I mean, Senator Merkley comes down, Senator Wyden comes down, Representative Walden comes down, everybody's coming down, they're all walking around and talking about it, but then it gets back to Washington, D.C., and Oregon, what? Southern, what? They go, it's like it just falls through the cracks. So that's sad, but I'm sure there are parts all over America that happens, you know, probably something up in the Blue Ridge Mountains that... It's real troubling to the people of Blue Ridge Mountain, but it doesn't mean anything to anybody else.
You're absolutely right. Wally, is there a way that you can get some information on what we need to do to certify RS-2477 roads?
Well...
Or do you have a memo? I heard the county has to go through a process to get those documented.
I can look into that. I mean, that question I've never actually tackled.
Okay.
I've looked at it from a couple different angles, though.
Okay.
There's no map. The county is not in possession of any map. We have searched
I heard we have some at the library and in the assessor, or not assessor, but in the surveyor's office perchance. That date back before the date that if those roads are there.
I'll follow up on that.
But the county library has some.
Okay.
The other question had come up about the county declaring lead agency. And so when fire decisions, when forestry management decisions, that we may have different standing if the county declared lead agency. And so I wanted to follow up with what that would be potentially.
Okay. Is that the conflagration?
That's the Arizona Shambly, I can't think of his first name.
I know.
Okay.
Come up with it. Well, okay.
Just want to look at options. Would it make a difference for how the forest lands and the natural lands are managed in our county in a way that we could be more effective and less damaging?
Not necessarily wildfire suppression, then.
No.
Okay, now I'm...
Just lead agency.
Tracking. Oh, Doyle Shamley.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. That has to do with, typically he describes the local government's role within the rulemaking process. So that's what you're thinking?
Yeah, I believe it's that. But, right. I mean, if it makes a difference that we can have more of an impact at a local level with the way the, if it is rulemaking or whatever it is, I know I don't have full understanding of it, but I want to see if there's more.
Yes.
Okay. At what point in time do we have to start, did we start asking for permission to put out a forest fire or any fire when we see it on public land? I see a fire, I better call that in. And the guy says, no, you just have to let it burn, and you've got three Caterpillar tractors that could walk up there and just plow around
it. When did the state regulations require certification?
Right.
Of, yeah.
When do we have to ask permission to put out a fire? It's like having that waste basket in there catch on fire, and the water cooler's right next to it, and I don't take that jug of water and dump it upside down in the waste basket. I'm sitting there calling 911, waiting for the sirens and the command post and all the other stuff. And yet, meanwhile, by the time they get here, that whole office is on fire. And we have a problem. I could have just taken the water jug and turned it upside down on my own and put it out. Yeah. When did that happen? That's a question I have, because that...
So it's both at the state and the federal level, both. It had to do with
right,
both.
Exactly.
It had to do with both logging companies being certified to fight fire, and it also had to do with helicopters being able to go in state areas and in federal areas. So if a helicopter has not been pre-certified for firefighting,
does not make any sense at all for firefighting. I'm sorry. None of the above makes sense.
But the federal regulation, whether it makes sense or not, and then the state also had a separate certification process that was less strenuous, but there was issues of this helicopter being used on state lands but can't be used on federal lands because they weren't certified. With the dozer crew that was on the Garner Creek fire, the answer I got was we didn't know if they were certified through the ODF firefighting program. And ODF has to provide a chaperone while they're out there to make sure it doesn't conflict with other firefighting efforts, so it doesn't put them in harm's way. And they didn't have enough staff at ODF to provide a chaperone. So the certification, though, was a state requirement on the dozer crew and certification of the state and feds on the helicopter are both things that regulations we came up against with this fire that actually caused the fire to grow more when services were allowed. Are available.
Honest to goodness, if you want all that kind of control, if you want that government to have all that control, then they better be damn well ready to accept the responsibility when it starts burning stuff up.
Yeah. My response to Elizabeth Burgard with BLM, the Metro director, was they kept saying that we don't have enough resources. And I said, then we're not properly doing risk management to assess what our risk is if we don't train up enough resources to respond, because this is 2 years in a row that nationwide we're at level 5 and they have all their resources deployed. So if we don't have enough resources trained or the prevention
I want them to define resources. Their resources means government people on the CAT, government people doing all the direction, government people making all the rules, when honest to goodness, there's a bunch of people that could just go put it out. It doesn't need to be this doggone difficult. It isn't. All of the above means nothing to me if you've let that fire get bigger than this table. That means nothing to me. It's not the way we used to do it. It's the way we should go back to doing it when people that are, that it's their property. Matt, I won't mention his name, up Picket Creek. Oh, you've got to get out of here. He had the equipment there. He had the tanks full of water. He said, I'm going to stay and protect my house. He did, thank goodness, and it's still there. But he wasn't qualified, certified, registered, didn't have the right kind of shoes on, and gee, the people out in Tacoma, they wanted to, they've got the equipment and wanted to go fight a fire, and the Forest Service stood up there and kicked them off because they didn't have the right gear on. They didn't have the right breakouts on. And you go, wait a minute, they're fighting for their lives, and you're not allowing them to do that?
Well, look at Murphy.
Nuts.
Murphy Timber Company's holdings with the Garner Fire, they actually took their own and put their own dozer lines because the fire plan was to burn through their property. So they separately brought in their own equipment and protected their property from the fire spread. But
pay the fine. I'm out all this timber. I'm out of it. You know, just and again, it's not just with the Forest Service. It's with everything. Oregon owns all the water. But when Gilbert Creek wipes out my house, I'm just supposed to sit there and let it happen. Because why? I can't go down there to block a concrete at my creek and I'm not allowed to touch it because it's in Gilbert Creek. But when it rechannels that thing and starts wiping my house, they expect me to just sit back and watch it just slide into the creek because they said so. I'm going to fight tooth and nail for my own house. They can fine me and throw me in jail, but my house will still be standing when I'm done. I don't care how much I violate the creek. And this is exactly the same thing. We've been talking about these darn fires for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and we don't have enough resources, but they define resources as their approved resources.
Correct.
Those people on that, the three caterpillars up Taylor Creek, they weren't approved, but they sure as hell got the job done. But we completely ignore the fact, their ability to put out the fire, their want. They want to put out the fire. That's their livelihood. And we sit back as government and say, absolutely not. That is what's wrong with this whole thing, I think. And I don't
think you're wrong, but I'm going to bring it to a different industry and see how we got there. Drag racing. How many regulations are in drag racing?
A lot.
And they all came from somebody's life?
That's right.
Or something else?
That's right.
There were more firefighters that would lose their life in old days than they do now. Mm-hmm. They still are losing lives this year, though. So I would guess that the regulations came about because of something happened wrong.
I think the regulations came about because...
And I'm not defending them. I'm just saying devil's advocate of another industry.
On this particular thing, when back in the days when we had logging and there were people working in the woods, they fought the fires. Why? Because it was protecting their livelihood.
Yeah.
They risked their life to do that.
Well,
they
also
knew it was dangerous.
Logging was also risky. So there was logging already
risky.
Something.
Was, that, putting out a little fire and walking a cat up there and taking care of that was nothing to those guys after they cut the road in to get to the logging camp. And it just overwhelmed me, the amount of people. And I've watched it. I went to the fire camp out there in Merlin. I went to the fire camp. Huge, 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 huge. I mean, but that many people. Why weren't those people put into the woods when we saw, why don't we take some of the $301 million? Ed Stashel, I think was his name, had a letter to the editor. He goes, if we're going to spend $301 million, why aren't we doing it in May and June and hiring those fire crews or a fire crew or kids or whatever to cruise these things when we see a lightning storm coming? You're not sitting there, your barbecue's over. You're on call. You get up there in the woods because we've got a lightning storm coming in. Get that water tender, four guys on it, and you start moving. This is your grid. Protect it. Nope, we wait till it's out of control. We knew it was going to happen, and it's out of control. We depend so heavily on Oregon Department of Forestry, and they do a fantastic job because their idea is to put it out. Stop it. That's it. We're done. And yet, then we get to this other mess, and that's the result. Chetco Bar Fire was the exact same thing. Look at all the fires that have happened that have just gotten out of control since we've changed our policy of putting it out. What good does that do? Where are all the people that started this mess and protested logging in the first place? Where are they? They think logging ruined the landscape. what the hell is this doing to their landscape? It's frightening. And it doesn't seem to go to Washington, D.C. Washington comes to us, and we march around, and we take the... I apologize. I just get so upset with government wanting control of how we do everything, but at the same time, they are not holding up their end of the bargain. Their end of the bargain would not allow that, in my mind. But if their end of the bargain is, we know best here. Well, sometimes Father doesn't know best. It's just disgusting. And I apologize. Excuse me. Anyway.
So that's at 2:00 on Friday when I'm supposed to be at Lake Somac.
And Commissioner Warren, I appreciate because you have got way more patience than I do to sit through these things and listen to it, and I couldn't do it. That's why I was in Cape Junction last night. I thought about going to the high school, and I thought, you better stay away from the high school. This won't be nice. So, anyway.
But it does mean I'm not available for the drug court graduation. Because I will be in Lake Somac.
Well, I think it's on my schedule anyway for drug court, so I'll take care of it on Friday. Anything else? Dan, anything else? No, I'm fine. Okay, with that, we're adjourned at 3:33.